Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Gil Beloy, friend to your church and to your denomination. I've been asked by your pastor to give a short talk, as short as possible, as an encouragement to you at this time of your anniversary. And so I thought of a scripture that has been very dear to my heart, and you are, I'm sure, well aware of this verse, and it's Joshua 24:15. It reads, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have you heard of that? Maybe you have made that your life verse. Well, I thought this would be appropriate at this occasion. And I've entitled the sermon, "As for me and my church, we will serve the Lord." Now, Joshua is 110 years old approximately when he said this. And they were about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. As you recall, he was the right-hand man of Moses who took charge of this last leg of their journey. Moses, more than anything, desired not only to see the Promised Land, but to be there. But Joshua would be given that privilege, along with those of his generation that made it. So he was 110 years old. How old are you guys? He's ending a ministry. You're beginning one that is a Reformed church as of 5 years ago, I understand. And I believe this ministry, this church, has been in existence for 20 years. You know, ministry is serious business. Covenanting with God is a serious business. The name of your church, God is Faithful Covenant Reformed Church, identifies you. The term covenant, did you know what that means, or do you know what that means? I'll summarize it by a statement that happens over and over in Scripture, where God says to his people, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." That's covenant. So when you make that commitment to Jesus Christ to become a Christian, you are making a covenant with Jesus Christ. You're making a covenant with God. But also in your name, God is faithful. He is faithful in his promise to save you and to keep you who have come to faith in his Son. For example, you're probably well aware of this, and perhaps another life verse for some of you, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation or test taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Like Abraham, God took you and I away from the world into the promised land of his church. In that passage in Joshua 24, Joshua alludes to Abraham. And he talked about how Abraham was on the other side at one time. He was in the world when God took him. He was serving other gods like his fathers before him and with him too. One night after having lived in Canaan for a few years, God appeared to him and said, "Look up toward heaven and tell," that is, "count the stars, if thou wilt be able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall thy seed be," meaning your children will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand by the seashore. Now, obviously, he didn't mean just the Jews, because there aren't that many Jews. But he's talking about all true believers, all who come to faith in him. All who believe like he did in the Lord. And it says he counted it to him, that is, God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. This is the Apostle Paul would say, reiterating those very same words in Romans 4:5, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, God accepts us not because of our good works. God does not accept us even because of our faith, but the one in whom we place our faith, the object of faith, who is none other than the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. If we believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Father Abraham, Joshua and his family, and all believing Israelites, the Apostle Paul, and all believing Gentiles, since his day to this present day, are all members of that same church. God is faithful, covenant-formed church. You're part of that same church. Keep in mind, again, that this is his church. When he saved us, Jesus Christ added us to his church, which is his body. This is his church, as he is told, or as we are told, I should say, in another place in Hebrews 12, where it says that we are the church of the firstborn, meaning the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead that would rise again unto newness of life and then, of course, return to heaven. And we will follow in his steps. He adds us as living stones to make us a spiritual house, it says in 1 Peter 2:5. What a privilege and a blessing to be a member of Christ's church, be part of his body. Nothing shall separate us from him or from his church. It is also our church, my church. If you are joined to GIFCRC and have become a member of this congregation, you are part of the church of God. Assuming you've been born again and that you are walking with Christ, you are the church. Not just this being the pastor's church or the denomination's church, POCRC. You are the church, and so this is your church. Take ownership of this church. Take pride in your church. It may look like to the world a very small thing, but don't despise the day of small things. This is your church also because this is your church family. This is where you can go to and be at home with the people of God. Your family that you're going to spend eternity with. But for now, the church is still in the world. Just like Israel en route to the promised land, it's still in the wilderness. In fact, Luke called it, in Acts 7:38, the church in the wilderness. That is an apt description of the church today, of us. We are just passing through. So, you need to keep sin out of the church, out of your hearts, and out of your lives. But don't keep sinners out of the church, otherwise there won't be any church. Because the church is just that. It's a bunch of sinners, like you and I, brought together under one roof by the Holy Spirit. But to keep sin out requires a decision. Did not Joshua say in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve? He did. Your former idols or the true and living God. Don't halt or bounce between two opinions, like the sparrows that bounce from branch to branch on a tree. You can't serve God and mammon. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Serve the Lord, the covenant, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. and be faithful to him. Being faithful to him is a great responsibility. Joshua did not know the hearts of every one of those Israelites, did he? As they anticipated crossing that Jordan River, he didn't know who was the Lord's in truth, although they were committed and they came with him over that river after this statement of commitment, this covenant that he had to make with God anew. But Joshua knew his own heart, didn't he? And he said that he knew the heart of his family. He said, as for me and my house. He knew the heart of his wife also. And he knew the heart of his children that he trained up in the way of the Lord. Is this what your life is about? And especially if you are the head of a home. Especially if you are a family. He said, but as for me and my house, he will serve the Lord. But remember one thing, congregation of GIFRC. You need Jesus to help you. He said once in John 15:5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In conclusion, I want to quote to you from the Heidelberg Catechism, one of your creeds and ours. Number 55, which asks, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Communion means when we gather together. By the way, in a sense, we gather together online, but we really gather together when we come in the flesh, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, seeking one another out, being together in the presence of God as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer to that, what do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, one and all, as members of the Lord Jesus Christ, are partakers with him in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each one must feel himself bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the advantage and welfare of others. Are you a member of the Lord Jesus Christ? I assume you are, at least most of you, if not all of you. Then you are a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you not? And you are a partaker with him in all of his treasures and gifts. That means you have access to all that are bountiful and benevolent and glorious and rich God has to give. He has given to each and every one of you a gift or gifts. Some specialty, call it, that he is going to hone and to prepare in your life so that he will thus prepare you for active service as he molds you and shapes you into the image of Jesus Christ. Have you discovered them? Are you discovering them? Keep looking, keep seeking. The promises by our Lord is that if you seek, you will find. But it takes time and effort sometimes and patience. And are you using them for the advantage and welfare of others or not? I hope you are. But if you're not, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can start today. Are you using them for your own advantage only? Hopefully not. Use it for the glory of God. That's why you and I are the church. But, as I said, we need the Lord. That's why you and I need grace, says the writer of Hebrews. He says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom, i.e. a church, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God has given us grace to do this very thing, to build each other up in the faith, to build up our church, to make our church to be the kind of church that will glorify God, that will glorify Christ, that will show that the Spirit of God is moving in us and amongst us and is burning a fire in us that cannot be put out. So, getting back to our promise verse, as I'll call it, like Joshua, is this your covenant as well? Your commitment as well? As for me and my church and my house, we will serve the Lord. I trust it is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I beseech God for strength for you to do this. Because for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so with that, let us pray. O Heavenly Father, I do commit unto you the God is Faithful Covenant Reformed Church with all its members, with its pastor and its elders and its deacons and its members. I entrust them to your care and thank you for this privilege to be able to encourage them, to give them an encouraging word at this very difficult time, especially with the global pandemic that has hit the world. Lord, there's not been a time like this before. But at the same token, your church, regardless of what it has had to endure, endures. Endures because of you, O Lord, because it is your people, your remnant, your church. You said, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we believe that. And thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to be able to glorify you and to serve you in your church. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until the next time.